Good morning. I hope you all are enjoying the weather because you know I am. Got my wool socks, my long underwear, I'm good to go. Went up north for a week, thought it was terrible to be in the cold, and man, it came home to it. I'm going to have to move south. Put it on the list. Something more, I guess, subtropical. Tropical just isn't cutting it anymore. This morning I want to take a little bit of time and talk about what Paul is saying to the church in Corinth. First, to understand that this letter that Paul is writing, his first one to the church, he's writing because he's been receiving reports that the church has had one or two, troubles. It reports that there's been problems. It's in the order of their worship. There's been some problems in people separating themselves from one another based on perhaps who officiated their baptism. And there's a struggle happening and there's division among them. And so Paul, being Paul and being a good Greek, is writing a very nice and formal letter. And so he starts out by reminding them of something very important. So beginning after he introduces himself in verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1, he moves to verse 2. Well, he didn't, but we do. To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's immediately, lovingly pointing out the fact that I know you all have some divisions going on here. And it is time for you to kind of get it back together. Because you are all one, like it or not. That's probably how it would sound if I said it. It just, you know, church is not unlike family, although it's the body of Christ, so it's sort of a different level. But much like family, having just attended a wedding over the weekend yesterday of family, I realized this is a lot of family here. We don't all like each other. But we came together, and it all was well. Nobody was arrested, and nobody was hurt, so that's always a good family gathering, amen? But the good news, we're just getting too old for all that. But the fact of the matter is, the church is not unlike that, and this church in Corinth, this first century, is struggling with this concept. They don't all get along. They all have slightly different ideas of how it should go, different ideas of how they might worship, different ideas of what it means to be baptized by one person or another. And Paul is saying, hold on. There's more to it. And he calls them back in this first couple of verses to the understanding that all are being sanctified. Now, that's an important thing to hold on to. Sanctification is being set apart and made holy. Has anyone here reached holiness? Choir? No. There's our problem. We haven't reached it. So in the process of being sanctified, which all of us are in that process, there's problems. That's what was happening in Corinth. Thank God that doesn't happen now, amen? Well, maybe, once in a while. But the truth of the matter is, regardless of all these things, Paul's reminding the church in Corinth and reminding us today, we are in a process, brothers and sisters, which means we are not always going to do this well together. However, we are still called to be together and to sort our way through. And he starts to hint at his next phase. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. As we move to verse 4, he says, I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. Hold on to that. He goes on. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. He started that section with the most important piece for the day. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. And we think about, what is this grace concept? I mean, how often do we really stop and think about it? It's been given to us, and there are days when we receive it, and to be honest, there's days we don't. There are days we receive it and give it. There's days we receive it and keep it and don't give it. But this grace is so overwhelming and over all that it should fill us to the point of overflowing, so that we pour that grace out on others, most especially those in which we gather with in the church. So we think about grace. In our Book of Common Prayer, Oliver, page 858, I know he doesn't leave the pew without it, I see. Our prayer book tells us this about grace. Grace is God's favor towards us, unearned and undeserved. By grace, God forgives our sins, enlightens our minds, stirs our hearts, and strengthens our wills. Now, how many of you thought that was the Holy Spirit? See, because none of that works. There is no receiving of the Holy Spirit unless you've received the grace of God. There is no living into the fullness of the Holy Spirit unless that grace in which you received is something that comes from you, something that pours out of you. Otherwise, the power of the Spirit can't even move. See, how many times have we been in the midst of something where we don't necessarily get along, where we don't necessarily see eye to eye, and rather than pour out grace on one another, we pull back. We can't even find the gifts of the Spirit in those moments, can we? The church is such a strange place in that when we have a disagreement with someone, we can use that to say, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not going to go to church because I might run into that person I don't want to see. And that's the expectation in the church. And somehow it's been normalized, brothers and sisters, and it was starting to normalize in Corinth. And Paul's saying, that is not okay. And it's not okay. Little secret. I live with one person. We do not always agree. Don't tell her. But we come to church and we expect we're going to have agreement among hundreds of people. In what world, brothers and sisters, does that happen? Well, it happens in the kingdom that we're being prepared for in our process of sanctification, amen? But guess what? We're not there yet. The church in Corinth wasn't there yet. And we hear these words today for ourselves and say, okay, we're not there yet. But the question we have to ask ourselves is, do we want it? Do we want to be in that kingdom? Do we want to be one with Christ and one another? Do we want that indwelling of His Spirit to actually come through us? And if that is what we desire, the first thing we have to do is open up that gift of grace that He's poured out on us, given to us through Christ Jesus. Not only open it, but use it. Not just for yourself, but so that it becomes the tool in which God can use you to pour His grace out on others. Which means from time to time, we may not be grace-filled towards one another. But if our hearts desire it, we will find a way to live into that grace. Even if we don't agree. And in fact, I would say, until we walk with one another in disagreement, we have not yet fully understood God's grace. Amen? Paul's reminding the church of that today. The church in Corinth and the church in Valerico and in every other church where this letter is being read and every other church that has read this letter for centuries, it hasn't changed so much, has it? We try and we strive, but the fullness is yet to come. He will strengthen you to the end so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And brothers, our chance to live it out is today. Brothers and sisters, we need to do this. We need to be focusing on how do we do this today. Because if you think the day is going to come when you just enter into the kingdom and you're just going to know how to do it, I'm going to suggest perhaps nothing like that has ever happened before in your life. If you want to get good at something, you have to practice. That's why we practice our faith. This is what our faith is. This is what it means. See, God's grace meets us where we are. It transforms us into the people that He created us to be. When we are then utilizing the gifts of the Spirit that He's given us. Verse 9 says this, God is faithful. By Him you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. By Him. See, His grace is first. In our sacrament and our understanding of sacraments today, two of which we will have before us, we will partake in the sacrament of baptism, and we will partake in the sacrament of the Eucharist. And we will all participate. You may think, well, I'm not getting baptized. Well, you are going to renew your baptismal vow, and you are also going to agree to help Ainsley grow in her faith, teach her to practice it, and live among her as she lives among us and her family. These sacraments, from our own understanding and our own tradition, are an outward, visible sign of God's inward grace. I'm going to have to start confirmation classes over. Sacraments are an outward, visible sign of God's inward grace. 8:30 didn't know either. Or 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock, not 8:30. It was 8:30 by the time I woke up. But it's important to know, see, God moves first. And it's by His grace offered us through Christ Jesus that we move. And this day, through the sacrament of baptism, we have the incredible joy and privilege of initiating Ainsley into His body. Amen.